Memo.
Did you not get the black she-shirt? Black she-shirt. Did you not get the black she-shirt memo, Dan?
What the hell?
I'm trying to say... I literally tried to say t-shirt.
I did not get the t-shirt.
I tried to say black t-shirt, and it came out black she-shirt. All right, okay. Listen, we've hit record. Come on, let's try and do a show for the people because, you know, it's summertime. We're not on that much. Fred pointed out a second ago that we did not choose a Zoom theater naming person last week because we only did a couple shows.
Yes. We forgot.
Not right.
We've selected one, right?
Yeah, Andrew Moore, who is a huge supporter of our program, he wrote in about something that happened to me in the shower that I'm not at liberty to speak about anymore. And Andrew was the guy from Service Inspired Restaurants for years, a huge supporter of the Humble and Fred Show, Scatterbush, Jack Astor's. I can't remember some of their other properties, but you know them. They're very big supporters of us when we needed them.
Yeah, my heart went out to them, in particular during the COVID drama, you know, when all the restaurants were shut down, because we had gone over there a couple of times, remember, Howard, and met all the big wigs and saw how that operation worked. And to think during COVID that was all shut down for months on end, how devastating that must have been for that industry. Oh, my heart.
Oh, well, your big heart. Your big, big heart.
A big-hearted
Freddy.
If I ever had a heart attack, it would be an attack.
It would explode. Your home would be shattered.
Boom, boom.
Would be like an atomic. I was thinking about COVID the other day. Funny that you brought it up. Not interesting, but funny. How we often will dovetail on one another's topics. But I was thinking about how just a short time ago, like four-ish years ago, this time of the year, we're all wearing masks. Here's what would happen was I opened up, I had a mask in my glove compartment or whatever, the center compartment. And I was like, yeah, because I, for a while, was still wearing masks into groceries. Long after a lot of people stopped, I was doing it. And I was going to ask the two of you, gentles, when was the last time you had a mask on?
I'd have a tough time answering that question. As soon as the government said we no longer had to have them, I ditched mine. So whenever that was.
Mine was when I went to Mexico.
When you came back to visit me in Mexico, like this a couple months ago?
Mm-hmm. I wore it on the plane.
Did you now?
Yeah, both ways. It just, I don't know, just that seemed like the germiest of things.
Dan, I'm going to tell you, the last time I wore a mask was the year before when I went back and forth to Mexico. And I was the only one on the plane. Maybe another person, another old person, but.
Yeah, maybe Delise talked me into a plane mask somewhere between the mandate ending. But I don't know. I can't remember. Saturday, I'm in Canadian Tire. I see this young family come in, a man and a woman, I would say, in their, you know, late 30s, 40, and a child. All three of them were wearing masks. And, you know, Fred the cynic wants to, you know, immediately thinks, oh, get serious. But then I'm thinking, we don't know. I don't know what's going on in their house. Maybe grandparents or another family member who needs to be protected from something, and they're doing it for the love of someone else.
So right away, there's a battle between big-hearted Fred and Fred the cynic.
No, and I'm being honest. At first, I'm thinking, oh, come on. And then I thought, fuck, I don't know their story.
You don't know nothing.
There could be some old person at home that needs to be protected from the slightest of viruses.
We all have that. It's funny how that, it's strange, interesting.
Funny, interesting.
How that has changed, and that's the reaction I think a lot of people have. I don't even know if it's the cynical thing, but it's more like I've had that same reaction. You see somebody wearing a mask, and you're like, oh, come on. But then you don't know if that person is immune.
immunocompromised.
Thank you.
Yeah,
I couldn't say t-shirt.
Sure. So.
But there's also, but there's also, I think, like way before COVID, seems to me that I remember that in Japan, which I visited once, that you'd see people with masks occasionally, and those people were not trying to catch it, but trying to prevent it from being, you know, their
from spreading colds, it. Not just spreading. In Japan,
so
but
that could also
all,
be
all right? over Asia. All over Asia, China especially, people have been wearing masks for years because of the bad air.
Mm-hmm. Guys, I noticed that years ago in Chinatown in Toronto.
Yeah.
Asian people. And obviously, you know, with immigration and those people conditioned to wearing masks on, you know, day to day. Even before COVID, I noticed that in the Asian community.
Well, I think that's just what Dan is saying, it was prevalent in a lot of those mm-hmm. countries, again, China especially, because anyway, I just was thinking about that, and that's what I was thinking about, how quickly we've all forgotten about that. Mm-hmm. I think I said this to you guys a couple weeks ago. I was watching a stand-up special from one of my favorite comics, so I'm actually going to go to see in London. Stan, leave it. Stan! I get a.
That's real radio.
There's a reason I did that, and I'll tell you why. There's a bit of a Stan story coming up, but I'm going to this guy Nate Bargatze, and I'm mm-hmm. me and Charlie are going to go see him in London, Ontario, in a couple weeks. Anyway, I watched an old special of his where everyone is wearing masks, Stan, social distanced at in tables, and it was such a short time ago. In our lives, yeah. It was only a couple of years ago, and yet now it's like most people have forgotten about it.
Yeah. I don't know, this talk of China, Asia, mask, it makes me think of the Mandarin. All of a sudden, all I can think of was, as soon as you say Asia, Chinatown, I'm thinking Mandarin, Egg Foo Young. Yeah, okay.
Egg Foo Young.
Love Egg Foo Young.
That's the,
to you.
Yeah. And all the Asian people listening are going, yeah, that's not actually Asian food.
Well, what can I say? I mean, Mandarin presents themselves as...
Yeah, as the masters of taste.
I was listening to, what is it, Canoe FM last week. And then there was this older woman doing the morning show, and she must have used the word Oriental 5 or 6 times. And I'm thinking, I know what you mean, but I don't think you're supposed to use that word anymore. She kept saying it. I'm thinking, I should send her a note. You're not supposed to say Oriental anymore.
Yeah, but she probably doesn't have email, so you'll have to write a letter. I told you, I went to Mandarin with my buddy Dave for his birthday and had great, great food. Almost none of it. Yeah. Was Chinese food. Like, I had all the other stuff. I had some sushi, and I had some barbecued sausage.
Someday when Dan's back in the city,
yes,
we should go on a little Mandarin hike, although I don't know whether that's... How far below you is that, Dan?
Well, I'd, you know, for entertainment purposes and the spectacle of it, I would definitely hop on the... in Mandarin.
Yeah, we should all three go.
Limo. A limo over there?
Wait a second. You're going to hop on that Mandarin limo? All right, listen.
Yeah, we'll get a limo and we'll
go the three blocks to Mandarin.
Yeah.
Okay, well, we got lots of stuff to catch up on, including a story of my little boy, Stan, who had a little incident while we were away. In the meantime, here's our boy, Dan, to officially begin this broadcast.
This episode of Humble and Fred is being broadcast to the world from our state-of-the-art Humble and Fred studio in Toronto, from our Brampton facility with a freshly pruned bush, and from Peterborough at Lisa's dining room table next to trendy black sticks in a vase. I'm Dan Duran, broadcasting live from the Andrew Moore Zoom Theater, and brought to you by The Retirement Sherpa, The Chambers Plan, Boron One, Bodog, and Lender's Choice Mortgages. And now, here are two men who, just off of complaining about the heat dome and the rain and the wind, are fresh and ready to dig into why fireworks suck even on Canada Day. It's the happy St. Jean-Baptiste Dayers, Humble and Fred.
Dan, will you be gathered around the television tonight to watch your hometown Edmonton Oilers do something that no other NHL team has done since the 1940s when you were in the service when Dan was overseas. Serving this country. And Dan, thank you for your service to this country. Dan was a radio operator, Fred, in Europe, in the theater. He was, hey, everybody, I'm Dan Duran. Good evening and welcome to All the Ships at Sea, that type of voice.
Right. I know. He took a bullet to the head and lost some of his coordination.
That's right. He was like, Mr. and Mrs. Canada, and all like, ah. And someone took a limo to the Mandarin. Me here, he said.
Me here too, yeah.
Me here too. Back to the game tonight. Game 7. We can talk about it in some detail later, but pretty exciting stuff. When Fred talks about the Bodog odds, I'm curious to see what the line is and how it's changed as the Oilers have bounced back from a 3-0 deficit to force a game 7.
Well, I'll tell you right now, it's a complete, absolute toss-up. -110 on both sides, which means you have to bet 110 to win 100. Both sides. It's something else. You would think Florida being at home would be favored, but are they not going to be gripping their hockey sticks a little tighter tonight, those Florida Panthers, after this? Wow.
It goes to our, I totally agree. It goes to our discussion last week when we were talking about the human element of sports and why it's so fascinating. Because it's not just about wins and losses. It's not just about, you know, the game's on and their puck's bouncing here. It's what Fred just said. It's what fascinates me the most about it is how do people react in those moments? I haven't watched one game, but I'm going to watch it tonight.
Well, I've got caught up. I've watched the last two games because when they made it 3-1, somehow there wasn't a Jays game on. I watched it, and I was pulled into it, and I thought, this is interesting now, 3-2. And then, of course, I watched the other night, even DeLeese, you know, end-to-end watch that game, beginning to end. Mm-hmm. And, I can't wait for it tonight. Tonight is a sporting spectacle, game 7, coming back from 3-0. It's something else.
So, and again, I'm not putting you on the spot, Dan, and you can say no, and none of it really matters. You know, this program, this 90 or, you know, 100 minutes we spend together every morning, none of it means anything. It's just all fucking ridiculous nonsense.
Oh, fucking.
But will you even be curious? Are you even curious, I should say?
Oh, yeah. I was curious about the last game, though I didn't watch much of it, but I mean, I did go and see some of the highlight reels just to see what's going on with the last game.
See, that's game. That shows you how old Dan is, because he calls them highlight reels. Because
I think game 5, I was watching it in my Florida room, and a couple of times Dan came over and asked what was going on. He didn't come up and view any of it, and then I updated him on it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, getting sportscaster updates because, you know, Fred's a good resource. He's right next door. He's a sportscaster, or, you know, was for a large part of his career, was a sportscaster. Hey, by the way, what is your thought? Do you think Edmonton's, now that they're in emotional kind of same space, they're both desperate to win this?
I'm like the line, like Howard. It's like, I don't know what to expect. I would, Florida at home, you would think that would give them the advantage in the way they controlled the series the first three games. But again, those guys are going to be so afraid of blowing this that it's going to add a different dimension to it. Like if the Oilers, have nothing to lose.
Well, I was going
to
say, they're not in the same emotional space, Dan. No. They're not even, they're in complete polar opposites of the space. The space that Florida's in is they've got to win. They don't want to blow it. This is historic. The Oilers are like, we were down 3-0. We shouldn't even be here. We should be golfing by now. So none of it. It's like they're just going to be freewheeling it, doing, fuck, it's all house money now.
And you know, if you're a Florida Panther, you're thinking, I do not want to be part. I don't want this to be part of my legacy. I was on the team that blew this lead. One prediction I might make. I have a feeling tonight, because it so often happens, I think the greatest player in the world will be the greatest player in the world tonight. I just have that feeling. It's going to be all about Connor McDavid.
Right.
Because, you know, he sort of led the way through this in a subtle way, but man, what a hockey player.
What are his, because the last time we talked, he had he'd racked up 40 plus points.
Yeah.
Is that total points?
I don't think he got any the other night, but
Is that total points or goals and assists?
That's goals and assists. Okay. I think he's at 42 now, and I think the record's 43 or something with Gretzky. I don't know what the actual numbers are, but he's right up there.
It's outrageous.
What he's had is a pretty decent season in the playoffs. If a guy gets 40 to 50 points, you know, like an average hockey player, that's not a bad season.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
What about Zach Hyman, who the Leafs just let walk out the door, has scored 16 goals in the playoffs?
Wow.
16. 16. And the Leafs can't score in the playoffs. And they just let him walk away. Crazy.
What about you, Howard, a former junior hockey player? What are your thoughts? Will it make any difference which team scores the first goal? As far as their, their spiritual side goes?
Well, like I said, I don't know if it makes a big difference, but I can tell you that the Edmonton Oilers are going to be in a completely different mindset. I was going to say they'd be giddy to be, because they weren't supposed to be here. When you're down 3-0, you're going to, the odds, I don't know, maybe Freddie had the odds, but the odds of coming back from 3-0 are, it's never happened since 1942. So I can tell
you that... In a final. In other series, it's happened.
Yeah, but this is a final. Yeah. In the final.
No, but I'm just saying it's happened before.
I'm saying, so those are the odds. The odds are long that you'd even be in game 7. So whether Florida scores first or they score first, I will tell you, actually, now that I think about it, if Edmonton scores first, that's going to tighten up the other team even more. I'm going to send you guys... Now a picture. I'm going to send it to our Dan. Are you on this morning show WhatsApp chat that we have, Humble and Fred?
Yeah.
You are.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm going to send you guys a picture so we can finish as we're finishing up the talk about the Oilers. I need you guys to see this picture first before
a little advice to the Florida Panthers. You better score first. Because it's what you say. If they don't, it won't be good.
No. Yeah, and as every minute goes, as now, conversely, if Florida scores first and starts to control the game, you know, because, I mean, Dan makes a point that they're both, it's like going into sudden death. This is like a giant overtime game, because even though the Oilers weren't supposed to be here, they're there now, and there is an inherent pressure on them too, because, okay, you're here now and a chance to make history, but if you win this game, you win the Stanley Cup, so there's pressure in that case. You know, in a way, you're right, Dan. They're basically at a level playing field now, and all this whole playoff months of it has come down to this one game.
And if you want to scratch below the surface, you know, Matthew Tkachuk and Sam Bennett, you know, hard-nosed, rough guys, a few other Panthers, too, they can't afford to take penalties because the Oiler power play is amazing. It's miraculous.
Yeah.
So if they think they come out and, you know, and muscle their way to victory, they just, that's off the table because of the Oiler power play. And the Oiler penalty kill is crazy, too. I think they've killed like something like 33 of the last 34 penalties or something. So
is there any part of you that gets a little melancholy? And when you're watching this team, imagining, like, if you sort of squint your eyes a little bit, imagining it's blue and white, those uniforms, and this is what it would be like.
In game 6, I said to Delise, what's this like? This must be fantastic. Because they're showing all the Oiler fans, you know, in the parking lot or wherever it is.
Yeah.
Going crazy. And I said it more than once, several times.
Oh, I bet.
What must this be like to be part of this and have your team doing this when our team is just so miles and miles away from this? It's frustrating. Same thing, you know, I always wanted the Leafs to be the next Canadian team to win the Stanley Cup. Well, that's not happened. The window is closing. They're done. So I'm all in for the Oilers. It's all Canada thing to me now, because especially with Gary Bettman and the way, you know, the interest in the United States and growing the game there, it's not the best thing for the NHL to have the Edmonton Oilers win the Stanley Cup, so that even enhances it for me.
Yeah, but it's got, I mean, it's been 31 years. Aren't we allowed to win it every once in a while beside what's best for the NHL? But think about that, Dan.
I agree.
31 years ago, I was 33, Fred was 37. You were 60, Dan, so think about it. Yeah. It's been a long... long climb back. I was laughing, Dan, about Fred saying, you know how many times I said to Delise, I can only fucking imagine. Imagine if we had Delise on here. Delise, what are you thinking while Fred's going, why couldn't this be us? You know what Delise is doing while you're talking? She's planning her bark recipe. She's thinking about her bark recipe for Christmas.
It's just, you know, the sports guy in me and the way you analyze stuff as you're watching it, you know, you see those subtleties, the commitment that the Oiler players make, you know, finishing their checks, going into the corners, all the things the Leafs do. They're never turning away from the play. Like,
you mean all the things the Leafs don't do?
All the things the Leafs don't do in the playoffs. They think they can cut corners. Well, you can't, obviously. You know, they say it's the hardest professional trophy to win, and you know, whatever, but for that reason, it's tough, hard-nosed game. You can't cut corners. You can't take shortcuts. And the Oilers, you can just see it. They aren't. You know, there's another defenseman the Oilers have. Cody Ceci was sort of a journeyman, played for the Leafs. You know, he was no good, benched all the time. And there he is now, you know, sort of a key figure on the verge of winning the Stanley Cup. So all those things as a Leaf fan, just...
Yeah, it's got to be frustrating, man.
Aggravating and frustrating.
Yeah. I thought of that. Like here, I thought of it after, you know, when they knew they were going to get to the final, heard they'd gotten to the Stanley Cup final. I thought, that's going to be...
Well, Connor Brown.
Sucks for Fred.
Connor Brown. I mean, the Leafs were supposed to be built. They were supposed to have, like, Zach Hyman, who was tough, a good scorer, and then Connor Brown was supposed to be a third or fourth line player. But, of course, he wasn't good enough, so they dumped him, and he left town for nothing. And now he's going to have his name on the stand. So,
All right. Listen, I didn't want to get into a protracted discussion, and then always ends with, now he's playing in the Stanley Cup Finals, and we're sitting at home wondering what the heck is going on. So look at your phones. Go check these pictures out. I just sent you on the... on our app, on the Humble and Fred, what is it? What does he call it? Humble and Fred podcast group. Wow, yeah.
It's on WhatsApp.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, that makes me want to throw up.
Why?
Wow. Well, because it's looks bad.
It's a wound, Dan. Well, I forget you're not You're not a medical person like myself.
Oh my! What? What happened?
Well. This story, poor man, he's got the cone on. That's why I was, you know, asking him to stop, because I didn't want him to. Anyway, so what it is, listeners, Humble and Fred people, as Hundy Peas, maybe I'll put this up on Facebook. I put it up on Instagram, if you follow me.
That's
but it's
nasty.
Yeah, so, and this all happened while I was away. I was away for Wednesday, Thursday in Port Elgin. And I'm really lucky because for 8 years, I've got a doggy daycare in my neighborhood. And I've gotten to know the woman that runs it. Her name is Lydia. And when I'm out of town the odd time, she takes Stan home and boards him at her house. So he's a part of the family there, and they're very familiar with him. Anyway, she calls me. She said, Howard, there's something on his shoulder. And I noticed there was like a growth. And anyway, he had scratched it, and it had gotten bigger and bigger, and it burst, and it was... She was worried that it was going to be an infected. Anyway, I'll get to this part is all as short as so. And I'm on the phone with the vet. I'm driving to Port Elgin, and they have to do some minor surgery. They have to put him out and drain it, cut it open, and whatever. That's why it looks as nasty as it does. And you know, I do you know where this is going? How much money this costs?
Fucking, yeah, that's first thing. After I was like, that must have hurt.
Oh
so
yeah,
bad. And then how much did that cost?
A lot. Yeah. So surgery, examinations, medications, post-op care. Anyone want to ballpark it?
$2,000?
No.
Yeah,
actually lower. I was $1,400 or something like that.
Oh, I was going to say about 22.
No, 1350, 1400 all in.
Oh, and surgery. Wow.
Well, minor. They had to put him out to do that procedure. So a very minor surgery. And then, of course, they want to, they're calling me back and forth. They go, Mr. Glassman, you know, the doctor wants to send the sample out to blah, blah, blah. That'll be $500. They go, no, don't send the sample anywhere. It's fine. We don't need a sample.
For what?
I don't
know. For cancer?
No, for something. I said, no,
well,
it's fine.
What is the, what's the actual ailment?
I think it was like a cyst or something like a cyst that burst on his shoulder. And so what, the picture I've sent you, he's got the cone on his head, which I've taken off because he can't actually get his head around to where it is on his shoulder. And he's wearing one of Spencer's T-shirts because I don't want him scratching it. And so a few moments ago when he was doing something, he was trying to get over and start licking it. So that's one part one of the story. And that's sad for our boy, and he's been walking. You know, you guys have both had dogs. I know that have had the cone on. The cones are smaller now. They're really funny because they've got all these sayings on. It says under construction. I'm a good boy. Give me lots. Really? Oh yeah.
Cones have come so far.
But I remember because I've had dogs with them before, and they used to be absolutely huge, all one color, no and decoration,
one size fits all.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
So he comes home with the small cone on, and. You know, it's been a while since I've had to. Just the poor guy, like he can't walk right. Keeps walking into shit. You know, he goes out to do his business, and he's like trying to sniff something, and it keeps banging into the cone.
So what's what? No, I was going to say, what's the time frame on that? How long is he?
He's better now. I mean, I've taken the cone off.
How long is he going to have to wear the cone?
The cone's off now. I've taken it off. Yeah. I thought the cone was, it didn't make any sense. Like, he couldn't get to that part. He couldn't lick it. He can't. It's like, imagine, it's like on his lat muscle. Anyway. So for this next part of the story, you should know this about Stan. You probably knew this at one time, Fred, because you were around him a lot as a puppy. But I will remind you that since I got Stan home 12 years ago, every time he pees a little bit on his foot. and he licks it. He licks it off. Oh. Okay? Mm-hmm. Do you have that part of the story in your mind, Dan?
Yeah.
So he licks
foot.
Because I don't know, his aim is, he's weird. I don't know. Yeah. That's just the way he does it. He lifts his leg.
And then you let him kiss his face.
Obviously.
Your face kisses. Yes.
I knew you were going to say that. Obviously.
Just like, oh, good.
Yeah. I got...
he just speed.
not he right after. You know,
how long does it take?
I let him have a mint, and then I let him kiss me.
Yeah.
So keep that in your mind. So I've known for 12 years, I know this dog, and after every time I take him out or he pees, he will lick his leg. So, and you just keep in mind, he's disoriented a little bit. He's on these some pain medication. And a couple days ago, I was in, we got up in the morning, and he was on the bed. You know, he's laying there and all sort of groggy. And I go into the washroom and brushing my teeth. And, you know, looking at my phone for a second. And then all of a sudden I see Stan come walking by me and he's licking his leg. And I was like, that's a very familiar. It wasn't like he was licking like, you know, something on. He was licking. It was a piss lick is what I'm trying to tell you.
Yeah.
And then I go in and he is just pissed all over my bed.
What?
Yeah. I know. I felt.
When was this?
Pardon me?
When exactly was this?
Couple mornings ago. Not yesterday morning, the day before.
How's your bed doing?
It's fine. I took all the sheets off. But I felt bad for him because he had that look on his face like, I don't know, Dad. This fucking just happened. I don't know what happened. But because it's, you know, I don't know, maybe the medication or whatever it was, but he was just a bit disoriented. And it wasn't like a little bit. It was like, yeah, all of it. And he was like, well, that's who I am now.
Wow. How old is he?
He's 12.
Well, you can tie that, obviously, to the injury.
Oh, yeah. I've never seen him. He would never do that. Yeah. So that's what that's the Stan update. Stan.
How much did the cone cost?
It was all inside the.
It was an all-in procedure.
When they sent him home, I think they blend or they you know, they tie the cone cost into the cost of the whole procedure.
Right. And well, is it made of cardboard or that thin plastic?
No, it's that plastic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there you go. What is an aftermarket for him?
Well, I've got a cone if you want to borrow it.
No, I think I've got my own cone still in storage from a couple of days. Yeah.
Anyway, so that's having a dog. So, Dan, we're going to take a break here while we do some business. And you can come back. Why don't you come back, you know, at the bottom of the hour, and then we'll close. Right. And Dan will do the news. And by the way, Dan, I should tell you before you go, when you come back, we will reveal to the audience when we're going to reveal to the audience the big Humble and Fred secret.
Oh, yeah. It's coming.
That guy. Yeah. Exactly. That you know guy. What?
Yeah.
I've got that.
Well, yeah, you do, because you're a professional radio guy.
I'm a good son.
No, that's not it.
Yeah, no, that's not quite it, but it's close. It's close by there. Another file.
I'm a good son, cold, people. It's coming. You know what I did for my mom?
I'm sorry, Dan. Yeah, no, I'm going to find it for you.
Well, find it when later, when Fred is blathering on about something, then you can just find it in those moments.
Mm-hmm. I do that.
It's coming. Yeah. The Humble and Fred Show brings you the official It's Coming. Words announced by a talented trailer voice just to make it sound important. And you know why? Because in a world where announcers announce things, the voice you're hearing right now just makes the whole whatever the fuck it is sound better. It's coming. See? Oh, you want a hint? Okay. It's not something they've never done before. So, it's something they have done. But when it comes, it'll be better. Not much of a surprise, but it will be better. Probably. So keep listening to the Humble and Fred Show to find out what it is and when it's coming. This announcer is available for hire through Element Artist Management.
All right. Thank you, Dan.
All right.
All right. All right. All right. I appreciate it. Much appreciated. Dan's news. What's that?
Said later then.
Yeah, we'll have Dan's news in about 30 minutes time. In the meantime, Fred and I will both blather on about this and that. Frederick.
Yes, the retirement Sherpa, Tim Niblett, is a portfolio manager. Raymond James, a member of the Canadian Investors Protection Fund. You know, Sherpa Tim and Sherpa Jay visit the show, one or the other, every Wednesday. They will be by this Wednesday. And remember, standing offer, okay? Standing offer. If you have a portfolio, you know, with some other outfit, and you're not quite sure it's performing to its potential, you've always had questions about, am I where I should be? They will have a look at it. No obligation, no cost. They'll give you an assessment. And you can take it from there. All right? It's, hey, you can't lose. The Retirement Sherpa, retirementsherpa.ca.
And, of course, we've been telling you for quite some time about the Chamber Plan, the Chambers of Commerce Group Insurance Plan. It is Canada's numero uno group benefit plan for businesses. And I mentioned the other day, it's been a while since I had to talk about them. We share these things, Fred and I. And I recall the fact that they've been our provider. And by the way, our guy, Rod, wants to chat us up. Wants to do a little check-in with us.
No, I know.
Okay. And what we do is, because we're a small business. When we got hooked up with the Chamber Plan, there was, I think we had three or four employees, kind of what we have now. And the fact that we were able to participate in something like this was a revelation to us. And I can't remember, did we get him from Dave or did Dave get him from us? Because Dave also uses, best friend Dave for his company, uses the Chamber Plan. Again, it's a big insurance feeling for small companies that maybe you don't think you can afford it. Maybe you're a one or two person operation. This is the perfect company for you because everything is pooled, which basically keeps the renewals down. And year after year, it has definitely performed well for us. Chambers of Commerce Group Benefits Plan. Chamberplan.ca. There was a sports story yesterday. I wondered if you'd seen it.
I think I know what you're going to talk about, but proceed.
I didn't actually see it because I was involved in a golf experience myself. As you know, I play golf occasionally.
Mm-hmm.
And yesterday, I was at my own golf course wrapping up the annual senior club championship, which I did not win. And so when I got home, I was like, there's this big story about the PGA tournament that was on yesterday. So the lead group gets to the final hole, including Scottie Scheffler, which a lot of people heard about a few weeks ago when he got arrested for no reason. But they get to the final hole, and a bunch of climate change protesters interrupt the proceedings by coming onto the green, spewing mm-hmm. gas out of canisters, some kind of powder or something. And it wasn't lethal. It was just... How would you describe it? Just like a...
Well, ironically, oil-based. But go ahead.
Well, that's ironic because it was a group protesting oil.
Exactly. Oh, didn't think far ahead enough.
So they're spraying this oil-based stuff, spray all over the place, and they're just getting tackled. I don't think people realize, maybe they didn't realize, how much police presence are at these tournaments. If you watch any of these things, you'll see as the players walk sometimes from, you know, tee to green or whatever, there'll be just a guy, like a policeman. Lots of times with Tiger, there was a whole bunch of security. But it didn't take long for all these people to be tackled.
No. And just, I didn't see it, so I don't know how much they, because I know a lot of sporting events, when there's protests like that, they turn the cameras away because they don't want to give them the, you know, the exposure, the publicity, so to speak. So the actual broadcast, I'm not sure how much they showed. I saw, you know, the social media stuff. But again, just nonsense, immature, naive, goofy, on and on.
And let's say they had a legitimate point to make.
Well, I'm sure they did.
And let's say they do. Like you know. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But what happens, you know, it's the old wind versus the sun, you know. What happens is you disrupt that event, mm-hmm. and all people do is fucking hate you. And whatever message you were trying to get across is just lost. It's mm-hmm. like when, and I don't have the audio, I should have thought of this, but it's like when that the last couple of shows Seinfeld has done in Australia have been interrupted by people that paid money to go in, excuse me, and heckle him. And all they get is the entire audience, thousands of people booing them, and they get taken out.
Uh-huh.
And there was a great line that Seinfeld had the second time it happened. He's so good at it because he just doesn't get ruffled. But at one point he says, "Don't you understand?" He says, "You're paying money to a Jew." Mm-hmm. Doesn't that sort of like wreck your cause? Anyway.
Mm-hmm. Well, Young Dundas Square on the weekend, if that's what they still call it. I've lost track. Same, you know, the literally pro-Hamas demonstrations or rally or whatever it is, and some of the vile things being screamed into megaphones. And it's like, number one, where are the police? Because if you turn the tables on and on, we've said it how many times.
Isn't that funny how you can be pro Hamas now? Like, that's like, imagine a couple years ago there. Hey, there was a demonstration on the weekend. Yeah, what was it? People were supporting ISIS. Really?
Yeah.
Really?
But again, you watch that, you know, and it screws up everybody else's weekend if that wanted to spend some time down there. And again, their message is lost. Well, number one, who they're supporting, but number two, how they're doing it just turns you off. I mean, it doesn't pull you in. It doesn't make you want to support their cause or be with them. It's just pathetic.
Here is a little audio. This is making now the point for us. Just listen to the sounds of people. Just listen to the sounds of people when the protest starts. So this is shortly after the first canister of oil-based gas is released. So those are the people they were trying to win over with this stunt, yelling, "You assholes!" and booing them.
Mm. Yeah, you could do that in that environment, but you wouldn't want to be yelling, "You assholes!" at Yonge Dundas Square on Saturday. That might be a little dangerous.
Yeah, think about that, though. They had a pro-Hamas, the terrorist group,
mm-hmm.
that keeps refusing the ceasefire that's offered to them because they don't want one. They say, oh, because of the issues, whatever, but it's not. They just don't want a ceasefire because as long as they continue to use their own people as human shields and everyone's being killed by the Israelis,
yeah,
the last thing they want is a ceasefire.
Yeah, Hamas is really, ultimately, responsible for all the deaths of the people in Gaza. So they can rail all they want against the Israelis, but that's been lost. Let's go right back to the beginning of this incident on October 7th. Who's responsible and who continues to be, who perpetuate it?
You gotta watch what you say. Yeah, I've been listening to a lot of, I listened to Bill Maher and Sam Harris. Bill Maher was on Sam Harris's podcast. Sam Harris, very, very bright guy. And both of them are both atheists. Talking about, and I don't mind having this conversation, talking about the religion, and you know, you'd love it because it's, you know, how religion wrecks everything. But mm-hmm. especially the religion. Well, not, I should, I, okay, I'll take it back. Not especially, but along with all the other religions, the Muslim religion, you know, is at the heart of this. And I think you've heard this. Bill Maher's new thing is basically saying to all these pro-Hamas protesters, he said, if you want a cause, having a cause is great, but you know what your cause should be? It should be the, forget this, what fake apartheid, which you call it, which he calls it, the gender apartheid of all the way women are treated in these mm-hmm. countries where the Muslim majority should be the thing that outrages, you know, a lot of people mm-hmm. because women in those countries, in Muslim majority countries, are treated, forget second class citizens, they're not treated like any citizens.
No, it's brutal. And gay people and, you know, transgender people mm-hmm. and I know it's hard to figure out. I almost try to turn away from it because I find it so frustrating.
Yes, I agree.
And there's nothing I can do about it other than try to ignore it because it's just frustrating.
The rights that women don't have is the thing that the point Maher was making. And he's made it on several. I heard him.
Oh, yeah.
I heard him with Megyn Kelly. That's another fascinating one. Because it starts off very cordial, but the two of them
went on her show.
Yes, man, on her radio show.
I got to listen to that because I'm not big on her, but no, I'd love to hear that.
You'll love it because he takes like they start off very cordial, and she sort of makes the point like, "Well, you and I are very similar." And about 5 minutes into it, he goes, "You and I are not very similar." And but you know, he's very. But what I like about Bill, and he makes this really good point, makes a lot of good points, is. And I listened to it. I had a 3-hour drive, so I listened to a lot of this stuff. And at one point around the 30-minute mark, he says, and you can see he's getting pissed off. But he sort of catches himself. He says, "Well, this is what we need. This is what we need in this country. We need to be able to talk to one another,
mm-hmm.
even if we disagree. As long as we keep talking, there's a chance." And I thought, you know, that's very bright, very smart guy.
And one thing I will say about someone like Megyn Kelly. She's not a coward like Hannity and Mark Levin and Jesse Waters, none of them would ever put themselves in a position to debate Bill Maher.
Yep.
Because he just punched their lights out. He just would. And speaking of Bill Maher, this past week, Real Time with Bill Maher, I mean, on a lighter note, you know, he wrote this book, and it's number one on the New York Times bestseller list. And his bit was, you know, I often, at the beginning of the show, he does an interview. I always interview people about their books. This week, I'm going to have somebody interview me about my book. And it was, Jiminy Glick, Martin Short.
Martin Short, that's great.
Oh, fuck. Mark could hardly compose himself. He was laughing so hard. It was hilarious. Fuck, Martin Short's funny. Yeah. Especially that character. So that's the first 10 minutes of the show. You got to see it. It's very, very good. And again, another one of those things, you could just the love that Maher has for Martin Short. These Canadian comics, they're just so loved. It's unbelievable. In fact, Maher makes reference to SCTV growing up. That was one of his biggest influences, why he wanted to become a comic.
I want everyone to, because what Fred is saying about Megyn Kelly having at least the, I don't know what you call it, the confidence.
Yes.
To have a debate with somebody. And I got to tell you, you know, they talk about January 6th. They talk about the indictments. And they talk about Biden. And you know what? I'm not saying she makes some, she makes some points. She actually has some points. Now, Maher pokes some holes in it. But at least she's willing to say, well, this is what I think about January 6th. And this is what, because she's also, you know, was a lawyer for 10 years. She's not just a, you know, beautiful, you know, Fox, you know, bimbo. Here's a little bit of Bill Maher and Jiminy Glick. Jiminy Glick is smelling his fingers here.
This is going to be so exciting for me. Really, because I'm used to interviewing celebrities, so this is a nice change of pace. Are we on time? Oh, we just started.
Well, I'm an author in this space.
I'm so excited that you're an author. Yeah. And you look wonderful. You're timeless. Your skin is so youthful. Yeah. It is. Not saying it's firm. I'm saying it's youthful. You have you have the Kylie Jenner lip plumper working. And you're in wonderful shape, Phil. Someone who's let himself go. I mean, really. You're like a male Marjorie Taylor Greene, really. In other words, Marjorie Taylor Greene. No,
that's a great joke.
You're doing political stuff now.
I am.
That's interesting.
Look at your smile.
Right, yeah, well, thank you.
Smile for me, Bill. Smile for me. your smile's like an email from grandma, all caps.
That's great.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, very funny.
Maher, that's like genuine belly laugh, man.
Yeah, it's not just it seems the last few years the love that from Smartless to, you know, I've listened to C. Martin and Martin Short were not only on Smartless, they were on somebody else together. They've been doing this television show now, Only Murders in the Building, for the last 3 or 4 years. Our buddy Bill Brio has a story on the latest Brio blog about the next season of that, which I've watched. I like it. But the love for Martin Short is pretty cool. You know, it makes you feel good to be a Canadian.
Yep.
So you mentioned something a minute ago again, how often this comes up, about how Hannity, Waters, that nincompoop Greg Gutless, would never have the courage or the balls to go up against a Bill Maher or a Sam Harris. Fucking Sam Harris. No. Sam Harris is so smart. So, but we've often talked about the way Fox covers things and the way the real world does. And you know, you've pointed out that, you know, at least on CNN, they'll criticize Joe Biden. They cover the president and the White House like they're a regular news outlet.
Yes. And of course, you always have to preface it. Yes, they have their problems, and yes, they have their biases, but if you're comparing them, there is no comparison.
No.
So, there just isn't. Fox is just a joke. It's for simpletons. That's all there is to it.
Even to the point where I heard some discussions, excuse me, some panel discussions about this debate that's coming up. And in it, even on CNN, they talk about how the president, Joe Biden, how he needs to present himself and how, you know, he's 80, 81 years old, and Trump has definitely got a little bit more energy, even though it's crazy, even though Trump's energy is, you know, pretty unhinged. But they talk about Joe Biden's faults and deficits. They never do that on Fox. And so
no.
What I'm going to play you all now is a clip of President Trump. I'm going to play you the way it was presented to everybody else first. And by the way, you thought the battery, shark, all that stuff. Have a listen to this.
No Gettysburg. Water in your faucets. You ever-
What's that, Frank?
Gettysburg. Gettysburg.
I'm talking about recent stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like every day there's stuff that if it was Joe Biden, Fox would be losing their minds. So it's about a 30-second clip, and then I'm going to play you the way it was presented on Fox.
No water in your faucets. You ever try buying a new home and you turn it on, they have restrictors in there. You want to wash your hair? Well, you want to wash your hands. You turn on the water and it goes drip, drip. The soap, you can't get it off your hand. So you keep it running for about 10 times longer. You're trying. The worst is your hair. I have this beautiful, luxuriant hair. And I put stuff on. And I put it in. Lather. I like lots of lather because I like it to come out extremely dry.
Anyway. And by the way, there was another clip of him this weekend. I'm not sure if you saw it, where he's talking about how great his body is, but he's got all these wounds on his body, but he's got a beautiful body. Anyway, so that's the clip. Here it is on Fox.
Where there's so much water, you don't know what to do with it. You know, it's called rain. It rains a lot. And so
not, it's part of the same unhinged fucking nonsense. He goes on to talk about water.
Places. But no, their idea, you know, did you see the other day? They just went, I opened it up and they closed it again. I opened it, they closed it. Washing machines to wash your dishes. There's a problem. They don't want you to have any water. They want no water, and I was with
one. And you were just listening to former President Trump.
So they cut it off.
I want to talk about some of the things he was discussing there.
Like, because he's making him. No sense. In the middle of that sentence, he starts talking about, I open it up. But he doesn't say what he's talking about.
No.
He is clearly as addled, if not more so, than Biden. The difference is Biden's forgetfulness, like he forgot the name of somebody the other day and Fox was all over it. But the problem with Trump is he's got a little bit more energy. So it sounds crazy.
Well, did we talk about this last week? Trump was on talking about the whole cognitive thing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And then was saying, you know, his Ronnie Jackson, I think his name is, you know, said he was right. The most fit president in the history of the president, but got his name wrong, was calling him Ronnie Johnson instead of Jackson, or vice versa, whatever it was, but just totally crushed his whole bit, because it was on this Joe Biden is mindless, can't remember anything. And then Trump gets the doctor, his doctor's name wrong.
Yeah.
Just something else. Oh. And this new tact they have, I saw somebody present it. It may have been Bill Maher. He was saying how the Republicans, once they send the memo out, everybody sticks to it, like sticks to the script. And now with Biden, to prepare for this debate on Thursday, if Biden does well, They're saying he'll be pumped up on drugs. The word is jacked up on drugs,
yeah.
And they're all using that word, jacked up. And now, even this past weekend, Trump referred to the State of the Union address that Biden got good reviews for, claims he was jacked up that night. That's the only reason he was coherent.
Yeah.
So that's going to be the narrative now. If Biden does well, he's jacked up on drugs.
Yeah, and I guess what's fascinating to both of us, because we are talking about it now, is it's, again, that's why I listen to Megyn Kelly. The way she describes the January 6th incident. It's all part of some kind of narrative. And that's why Marr, very early in the interview, Marr kind of goes, well, no, we're not the same. And she's a big fan of Marr's. Mm-hmm. You could tell. And she's not dumb. But her narrative, the memos that she reads, the way she... And I guess as we all do this, her bias or confirmation bias, if nothing else, is fascinating because she's very articulate about it. She's not like Jesse Waters. She's not an idiot.
No. Yeah, I don't know what to make of it. I don't know if we were going to have that guy on again from Indiana.
I don't know, man.
Because it's... I don't know if I have the stomach for it.
Yeah, me neither.
Since he was on, and what's happened since, I mean, if you still buy into that act, I'm sorry. Yeah, what's wrong with you? What is wrong with you?
Ronnie Jackson he says he's writing a letter to the White House demanding that Biden submit to a drug test for performance-enhancing drugs before the debate.
You notice, too, Trump, he goes on and on. He very rarely is he talking about policy.
Never. Because he can't keep it straight.
Yeah.
Here's Trump saying he opposes wind energy because he thinks his TV would turn off when the wind isn't blowing.
His green new scam stuff, you know, the green new scam. Let's build a windmill on every corner. A windmill that doesn't work. Darling, I'd like to watch television. I'm sorry, the wind isn't blowing tonight.
Yeah. So that's a guy with a pretty fairly decent grasp of how the world works.
Mm-hmm.
When he talks, like, here's the thing.
Weird.
The rest of us, if we had hair like that, which has clearly been scalp reduced and fucking, it's clearly fucked up, wouldn't talk about how luxurious our hair is. Like, I can't find the clip where he's talking about his beautiful body, how beautiful his body is. It's almost like he doesn't realize we can see what a fat, bloated mess he is.
And the irony of it all that stuff he is saying are lies and bullshit.
Yeah.
And the very people that love him are buying it. So he's lying to them. He's not lying to me and to you. We don't care. We've got him sized up. But the actual people who love him, he stands there, looks them in the eye, and lies to them. And they just don't take 10 minutes of their time to verify or look in or investigate or... you know?
I know.
It's... again, you've got half the population just so caught up in hate and rage and intolerance. They're blind to it.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, you're right. I think most people, like, you know, they get it. We get it. And that's why it's sort of, again, for me, I don't know about you, what makes it ultimately fascinating is that. It's the fact that he's got fucked up hair and he's a bloated mess, and yet he's trying to convince you that he's got beautiful hair and needs lots of lather, and that underneath that jacket, he could take off his shirt and you'd see a beautiful body. And you're like, what? What?
You know, George Conway, he's got a podcast too, and I've listened to it from time to time. And again, guys like him, former Republicans, they're heroic. By the way, on Bill Maher Real Time, on Friday night, he had Adam Kinzinger, you know.
Yep.
Again, another American hero, that kid. He really is. He's something else. And again, the way he's just been pummeled by that.
Do you think Donald Trump...
Sorry. Hold on a second. Oh, no. And Adam Kinzinger and Liz Cheney, 100 years from now, will go down as people that, you know, were the very few in that party that tried to have it not be destroyed.
Yeah. Anyway, I was on my way to a point, but I forget. I get caught up in the... But, yeah. The... how people are just... They're just falling for it. It's too much. Oh, I know what I was going to say. George Conway, I'm sorry. You know, he has a theory that he said, you know, in 2016... there were people that were afraid to say they were going to vote for Trump. They were afraid to say it, and he was elected. And that got watered down in 2020. He thinks Biden's going to win quite handily this fall because he said there's millions of people out there now afraid to say they're not going to vote for Trump. Right? Because you're in a circle of pro-Trumpers, right? And now you're in where it used to be, where I'm not going to say I'm going to vote for I'm going to vote for this Trump guy. I'm not going to tell anybody because he's weird.
Mm-hmm.
Now that same group of people are going, geez, I'm not going to tell anybody I'm not voting for Trump because they'll freak out on me. So we'll see.
Well, I hope you're right, because I think that as we I'm going to say Dan's coming back soon. Let's wrap it up. For me, my last point would be this. It's not just Trump. And it's not just the Megyn Kellys of the world, but it's all the people so clearly in the know about what a doofus this man is. All those people on Fox, all those Republicans who went on record after the second impeachment. You know, it used to be if you were impeached twice, whether the conviction stuck or not, that would be enough to derail your presidential candidacy. Anyway, what bothers me the most, I think, is all those people who know. Forget the MAGA people, because they don't care. Some of them know, but they don't care. But the people who really know, and as we've made the point, for their own gain, are just going along with the fucking joke. It's pretty scary how many people are going along with the joke, and the joke being Donald Trump.
Yeah. Influential. I mean, influencers. That's the scary part.
And they absolutely.
The responsibility they have, but they just don't care. You know, and we've said it many times, and I know we jump on the Trump thing and we talk about it. But again, this transcends Trump. It transcends the United States. This is a worldly moment in time. Hugely pivotal. So, you know, and it affects us. It's not just the U.S. and it's not just Americans. This is going to have worldwide effect, and especially here in Canada.
Yeah.
So it's just not, oh, you're hung up on Trump. We're hung up on what this could mean. And that's not an exaggeration.
No, I agree. And it's going to be fascinating these next few months because it's coming up fast. And by the way, this is our first show back since it became summer. Although the summer weather we've experienced this year, I don't know if it's the most disruptive, but it's pretty disruptive. I've had two or three days where I've never seen wind like we've been seeing. And of course, every other day it rains. And on Saturday afternoon, you and I were talking about this before the show. You said it was one of the first times, a few times you can remember, actually having to pull off on the highway.
Yeah, I can't remember ever pulling off the road because of rain, but Thursday I was on the 407 and I literally had to pull off to the side. I couldn't see in front of me. And it was scary even do that because you don't know who's coming up beside you whatever. But I got over and I sat there for about 15 minutes.
Saturday afternoon coming back from the golf course. Yeah, I played Saturday too. Same thing. I'd never seen. I didn't stop. I was going pretty slow, though, and I saw several cars pulled over, 401, 427. So you can say what you want, but it is summertime, Fred. And, of course, that's a great time for whatever you're about to say.
Hey, whether you're a sports bettor, a horse racing fan, a poker, casino player, Bodog, your number one source of online gambling entertainment, from their industry-leading odds, world-class sportsbook, to their fully loaded casino and racebook, they've been providing Canadian players with an unparalleled gaming experience since 1994. That's Bodog, and I gave you the odds for tonight's game. It's just literally a toss-up. So get ready. 8 o'clock. It's gonna be an event.
Yeah. I'm gonna watch it. I'm gonna do. Hopefully, it doesn't end too late for Grandpa because I like to go to sleep around 10:30. Let me tell you about this company that has been supporting us, and of course, we appreciate that. What am I talking about? Boron One is what I'm talking about. Junior Mining Company that's gotten to a very pivotal stage There's all kinds of news at boron1.com. Go to the news section, pull it down, and read about it. They've announced several rounds of new financing, and all that means is there's lots of activity around this company that's trying to get boron out of the ground. I won't tell you all the things that boron is in. A smaller list would be all the things that boron is not in. It's in everything. And, of course, we make no claims about stock prices. That's not us. Have our Sherpa or your Sherpa, your lesser Sherpa, at least have them take a look at this company and see what it, if it, you know, aligns with your goals as an investor. Boron One, and find out more at boron1.com. I got a couple other things I want to wait till Dan gets back.
All right.
Well, before he... Go ahead.
One other thing. I mean, just one other sports. I mean, a big weekend for sports. The shit show that the Toronto Blue Jays have become now on a 6-game losing streak. They just can't do anything right. The season quickly fading away.
That's too
bad. And then on the... Yesterday... one of their top prospects, Orelvis Martinez.
Yeah, I read that.
This kid, they couldn't wait. They had to wait to a certain date to bring him up for contractual reasons. He plays one game, and then yesterday it's announced he gets an 80-game suspension for taking a performance-enhancing drug. And this is an interesting story. And, I mean, you know, he's Spanish, but there's no excuse for that. All these major league teams drill these guys in whatever language they communicate in about performance-enhancing drugs. Don't put anything in your mouth until you run it by the baseball team.
Yeah.
And this was some kind of a fertility drug that he claims him and his girlfriend were taking to have a child. Again, people are a little suspect of that. But again, all he had to do was get a hold of the team and say, you know, I want to take this drug. Is this a good idea? But didn't.
Now, I read the story. Oh, go ahead. Mm-hmm.
No, I'm saying, and now he's suspended 80 games. He won't be available until the last few games of the season, and it's going to sort of tarnish his image going forward. And it's a pile-on with the Blue Jays. Anything that can go wrong has gone wrong.
Yeah, I saw the story, and I wanted to ask you, so 80 games in baseball, that's like a couple of weekends. It's a joke. but Orelvis Martinez, let's say it's true. Yes, he should have checked with the team. But if it was a fertility pill, let's just say it's true. Isn't there something in the Major League Baseball, I don't know, testing protocol that would allow for them to see that? Because here's what I'm getting at. If it was truly a fertility pill, can't they see that?
Good question. And I heard that addressed. No, because there's hundreds of drugs that contain ingredients that can be recognized as performance-enhancing drugs. Hundreds of them. So that could always be the excuse. Oh, I was using it for another reason.
Oh, I see.
Well, they're tired of that.
Okay.
All they're asking players to do is, before you take anything, run it by your club. And during spring training, they have seminars and they have lectures on this.
All right.
Making the point, whether you're a minor leaguer or a major leaguer, they're drilled on this. There's no excuse.
Well, that's the answer then, that, mm-hmm. that there's lots of drugs that also have elements of performance enhancement mm-hmm. in them. So it's just no across the board. Like, you know, there was a thing years ago about golfers maybe taking some kind of drugs that calm you down, like beta blockers and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm on beta blockers. I take them every day. Not just for my heart. This is to calm me the fuck down. Dan Duran is here. Dan, yeah. I told Dan. Hey, what?
By the way, I was just going to ask.
Don't get excited. You're just back now. Don't you jump right in. Jesus.
Is smoking a joint a performance-enhancing drug? Like, would that be considered that?
I don't know if THC. It's THC, so I don't know if it's a banned substance in Major League Baseball. Or sports.
That would go the other way, wouldn't it?
Oh, I mean, it depends. I mean, if it's, if you're playing a sport where you need to calm down, maybe. Plus psilocybin, yeah. They're going to be, because you can microdose 50 milligrams of psilocybin now easily. I wonder if that's a performance-enhancing drug. Anyway, I told Dan this the other day because I couldn't wait. I was talking to Dan on the phone. I saw this thing, and I'm like, I got to tell somebody because I couldn't believe it. Do you know what I'm talking about, this thing I called you up?
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm driving along. Like, you know, it's weird because I've been driving on this road, Highway 25 and the 401. This is my 14th summer of going to this golf course. And so I don't know when this company opened up for business, but it's probably been there for years. I'm driving along the other day and I look over to my left and I see a little, it's in a strip mall type of operation. And it says indoor playground and photography studio. And I start laughing at myself. I'm like, who thought putting those two things together would be a good idea? Indoor playground and photography studio. I immediately start thinking of all these kids running around. There's just some creepy dude taking pictures. Who thought, hey, I know what we should do. Let's combine forces.
And so I had to call Dan.
I'm like, Dan, this is outrageous. Then I started thinking of all the things, like, what are some other, because, and then I started thinking about this place over here, the perfume fireworks store. Sure. Again, it's like, we've got these two things that don't seem to go together, but along the creepy continuum, I thought, okay, what could be worse than indoor playground and photography studio? I said, Dan, it would be like, all day daycare, now featuring private viewing booths. And I drive by it every day. I drive by it every time I go to the golf course. Indoor fucking playground and photography studio. That's why I want to stop and say, you have no one. Somebody's not working here. So, Dan, do you think it was somebody that opened up an indoor playground and then went, oh, what else could we do?
I think maybe two people got married.
Great point.
Maybe the photographer. And then the you never know with these things, right? How they ended up together. Or maybe they just the photographer's studio, they rented the space and it was already a playground and went, hey, let's see if it works.
But I would say,
go ahead. Or a strategy of, we'll get all the kids in here,
right,
in the playground, and then take pictures of them, of these sweet little darlings, yes, and then show them to their parents and see if they want to buy them.
Yeah, how could they refuse?
How could they refuse? Because everybody's child is the greatest, most precious thing ever.
No, and that's probably what it was. They're like, hey, it's like we have a captive market of parents that would love pictures of their kids. I just saw it, and I'm like, really? Who thought? Because you have indoor photography studio, or indoor playground, period. Photography studio, fine. But the and, it's the and. It's the and, Dan. Not and. Also, maybe.
Anyway. Is there a hallway separating the two? Is there?
I just hope so, Dan.
Yeah. In this day and age, you'd even need that. You know, it's not a, you know, there's so many pictures you can take of your kid with your phone. Then why would you want an official photographer to take a picture of him playing in a playground anyway? Doesn't make sense. It's like you can do that yourself.
Mm-hmm. It's like those things when you go to sometimes when you go to an attraction, or a ride where they take a picture of you. Like, Dan, when you and I went on the Secret River tour in Mexico.
Oh, right. Yeah, I remember that.
And there's always people hanging around. They're taking pictures of you. Like you have to have a picture. Like you have to have like a $22 glossy picture of you with a fucking helmet on going down to a cave. You know, I don't need that.
How has that industry suffered with the advent of the, everybody with a camera in their hand?
Right.
Weird. On some level, that used to make sense.
Yeah.
But speaking of Mandarin, even when we took my mother-in-law to the Mandarin a few weeks ago, at the exit, they had a photographer offering to take pictures of, like, family gatherings. We said, no thanks, we'll do it ourselves. And we did.
Yeah, I mean, I remember there was a time when we would walk around, and this seems crazy to say it out loud now, with cameras, because our phones were at home, again, attached to a wall.
Yeah.
That's where a phone was.
Mm-hmm.
Even when we first got phones, cellular phones, they didn't take pictures.
No.
They have that on cruise ships too, don't they?
What?
I remember being on a couple of cruises, and they've got the same thing where you walk by and there's a fake picture of an oceanscape of some sort. And they take
The Love Boat. Yeah, they used to do that on the Love Boat Friday night.
Dan, did you ever do an episode of the Love Boat during your during your acting career?
Yeah, I missed that opportunity. You know, I shot in a different city, and they're not going to fly a newscaster down there.
So. Yeah. Well, you know, listen, you've done so much.
Mm-hmm. By the way, Dan did have a session on Thursday in a movie, Dan?
It's a TV series, which I can't talk about.
You're not allowed to talk about.
No, it's coming out in 2025. Yeah.
Wow.
It's a higher profile TV series. So there you go.
Yeah, you're part of it.
Yeah, I asked Dan about that when I was calling him with my hilarious indoor playground bit. And I said to Dan, how did your gig go? And he said, good. I said, any idea? What did you play? I thought, you know, like leading man type of thing. And what did you play, Dan?
I played a newscaster.
Really?
Yeah. But it's an older newscaster, you know, an old-timey newscaster.
Like from the 1960s or something, right?
Yeah, yeah.
What was your your lines? Are you allowed to tell us what your lines were?
No, I'm not allowed to tell you, but I wouldn't remember them anyway. No.
Why can't you tell us what you said? And it's not going to give us a clue as to what the show was.
Well, like I signed an NDA.
All right.
You know, it's a pretty strong NDA. You know, they'll come after you.
Well, number one, what's the strategy of that? Like, why wouldn't they want people talking about it? But I guess there's a reason. Number two, does it not get to the point where they're casting newscasters? They're going to think, well, this the same newscaster can't be in every movie, every genre. Every year, like,
what did
it doesn't
I say,
make sense.
What did I say to you, Dan? I said you should put together a reel of all the different eras, genres. Didn't I say that?
Yeah, you did say that, and that would be a fun little thing that I, you know. But you know, then again, these people don't care that much. It's just a newscaster role. And to your first point, the reason I have a copy of the script that I was in of the episode I was in,
yes.
So what they want to do is control the message, and also higher profile shows want to make sure that the plot is not revealed, or, you know, or somebody's making money off of, you know, like disclosing little script points, because there's followings out
for
there.
For sure there is.
Stuff, so.
But listen, if there was...
That. There's got to be a reason, and that's the reason.
Yeah. No, but listen, if there was ever a show where they could say, okay, you have to sign an NDA... Unless you're going on the Humble and Friend Show, then no one's fucking.
It doesn't matter. Honestly.
This show is like an NDA.
Yeah, the doesn't matter clause.
It doesn't matter clause. Wait a second. Are you going on Humble and Friend? Okay, then don't worry about it. Say whatever you want.
Yeah,
doesn't say whatever you want. But yes. You say these people don't care, Dan, but why would they not care at that level? You'd think at some point they're going to say, we need a newscaster. And Dan Duran. And, well, you know what? He's sort of been overused. Like, when does it get to that point? Why wouldn't they care? Because when you start not caring about the little parts, it starts to affect the big parts.
Oh, is that right?
Well, whatever your logic is, I don't want it out there.
Exactly.
So. Yeah.
Dan, I don't know. I'm on Dan's side here. Like, whatever it is, Dan's not going to argue. Yeah, you know what? They should stop using me, friend.
No. Yeah, I'm not asking him to agree. I'm asking him to... Think about it.
Yeah, think about
just
it,
think
Dan.
About it. Maybe, what do you think? My run as a newscaster.
Well, at some point, TV I'll tell you,
is coming to an end.
It's only going to come to an end when he's dead. It's because he's literally. Do you have a sense of the number of movies and television programs? I mean, I could look it up on your IMDb, but is it?
Well, I don't know. It's around 70 something. Yeah,
70. So, yeah. Fred, to answer your question, apparently it's not 70 appearances.
Yeah, obviously they don't care. But Dan, here's a great bit. While you still have your marbles, you should write and perform on camera your own obituary. That'd be cool. So at your funeral, we can all sit around.
Yeah.
And you come on the screen as a newscaster and deliver your obituary like it's a news story.
I think that's a brilliant idea.
That's a great
idea. Hello, everyone, and welcome to this event. I'm Dan Duran. If you're seeing this, obviously, I'm Dan Dered. Dan the Dead. Dead Duran.
Dan the Dead.
Dead Duran.
Dan Dead Duran.
Dan Dead Duran. I want to look back now on my many, many years as a broadcaster. Okay, before I promise when Dan came back, that we would have some breaking news.
Breaking news from Humble and Fred.
Yes, yeah. breaking news before the news. For several months now, we've been hinting that something was coming. We played the Something is Coming Dan Durant promo.
It's coming.
Well, now it's just, it's two more sleeps, everybody. Two more sleeps.
Oh, it's still coming?
Yeah. Not to be gross, this is just a pre-coming.
I thought it was breaking.
This is just pre-coming.
Breaking news. I thought it was like now.
Yeah, no, it's breaking news that the soon to be coming thing is actually coming in very soon.
It's got a date now. It's got an actual launch date. Oh, I see. So it's no longer ambiguous.
On Wednesday morning, if you're a fan of us on Facebook, or it's not a, you know, you watch us, you will be the first to know. For the rest of you, which is the majority of people, when you download Wednesday's program, it will be revealed. And Fred, will you try and keep it a secret in the description of Wednesday's show, or like maybe keep it so that people don't get to it till the end? You know what I mean?
On Wednesday's show?
Yeah, so don't put it in the description is what I'm saying. I think it's best
I'll put something like, listen to this show and find out something neat or something.
Very good.
To pull people in.
Yeah, show notes. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Very good.
Are we doing any like special launchy, you know, I don't know, like
a we've got
space
a,
or something?
I see. Oh, yeah. We've got a, what's that, sir?
Convention Center?
No, we're not doing the Convention Center.
Roger Center,
yeah.
Okay.
No, we're going to play a couple things on the show Wednesday morning. We will be conducting an interview Wednesday morning with somebody that is extremely pivotal in the creation of this thing. That's all I'm going to say.
Lots of squares on our Zoom page then at the same time?
Just one more.
People showing up?
No, just one more square.
All right.
Yep, and it's going to make your summer better.
Well,
yes, it is.
Already Dan's disappointed. Is it going to be the convention center? Is there going to be a lot of people? So I'm sorry. We thought it was a big deal, but apparently you don't.
No. Well, we'll have to make it sound like really important.
It will. It's going to sound cool, dude.
It's going to be great.
We've got several pieces. We've got several pieces of production. Several, not more than one, Dan.
Excellent.
So we're very excited. So if you've been waiting, there are a couple listeners that already know. Because I told them at the listener event a couple weeks ago.
Yes. You mentioned our buddy Rod Johnson, too. I tipped him off.
Yeah.
He loves it. It's going to be fantastic. You know, and this is another. What makes me feel really good about this is over the 13. Is it 13 plus years now or 12?
Coming up to 13 years.
Anyway. Okay.
13 in September, October.
You know, the support staff, unpaid support staff, that when we do something, people that pitch in because they like us and they support the show and they want only what's good for us. And this was another indication because the finished product, well, not the finished product, but what we're about to present on Wednesday is just another indication of the people surrounding this show that just can't do enough for us. And it's heartwarming.
It is.
Because they don't have to, but they do.
We're going to spend a considerable amount of time thanking one person in particular. Several were involved, but this one of the parties involved is not a, you know, has not been with us for 13 years. But one of the parties involved who is integral to this product, not only he just went way above and beyond, but there's others as well. You know, friends of ours that pitched in when we were trying to do the brainstorming sessions and some of the creative that you're going to hear.
Mm-hmm.
So what we're going to do, well, we'll do our show Wednesday, but around this time on Wednesday, toward the end of the program, if you're a Facebook watcher or listener, viewer, so you're going to hear, you're going to see it revealed. If you download the program, it'll be around, if you need, don't fast forward because you may miss some gold. I never thought about that.
Why?
Well, we should maybe do it right at the start of the show so people don't fast forward through all the gold, all the Dan Duran, and all that's not, whatever. So if you want to find out what it is.
Maybe we should.
Well, we've already booked the thing. I can always rebook it. And I don't think it matters. I think that's actually a better idea.
What?
I think we should do it before as opposed to the end.
Maybe the first segment of the show, right off the top. Ladies and gentlemen, we've been talking about it. Here it is. Yes.
Okay.
That's, you know, it's breaking format, but.
Well, you know what? Because, and what we'll do is maybe let's do 15 minutes, and then at the 15 minute mark, I'll have that person booked. I'm sure it'll be fine. Unless it's inconvenient. Like, I don't know if they've got Zoom at their home or their office, so that might be the only thing. So let me reach out to them as soon as we're done and say, can you make it at 7:45? Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, that's it. So we're really excited, and it's been the culmination of a few months of stuff. And when we reveal it to you, and again, you told somebody already, and the few people that we have told that know have all been delighted by it. And we hope that the rest of you will be as delighted as the people that already know. Do you think there's a chance there will be a mass delight, Dan?
Delightment?
Delight. Will there be a delightful nature?
Yeah. I don't know if I've described that what we're, you know, launching as delightful before.
Well, how would you describe it then?
What are you talking about? The actual...
No, I just said people have been delighted by when we reveal this product to them.
Of course they'll be delighted.
Not Dan. Dan doesn't think they'll be delighted. He wouldn't describe it that way, but he would say it is more of this doubt. How would you describe
because even it? Even if it doesn't directly delight you, you can share it with those you love.
But the concept I've found, the people I shared of it, they are completely delighted.
Absolutely.
I'm not big on the word delightful, maybe. Because there's light is in the name. So.
Oh, my God. Too light. Is this guy a... Wow, what a...
You know what he is? He's fucking... It's starting to get annoying after 60 fucking years.
It's that fucking shot he took to the head in 42.
Jesus.
Now, here's to a fella named Dan Duran.
I wouldn't call it delightful because it's actually delight in the fucking name.
Delight's in the name.
No, Dan, couldn't you just say me here and let's be done with it?
Now, here's to a fella named Dan Duran. A hell of a guy with a hella big wang. The quintessential anchorman. His voice is nice. And low. Dan Duran, the anchorman, comes and asks for credentials. He has none. Can't tell a headline from his bum, but his voice is nice and low. Dan Duran, the anchorman's here. He's prone to falling off his chair, but he's got a big wang, so he don't care. And his voice is nice and low.
My voice is nice and low.
And now, live from Lisa's house, the matrimonial home. As it will be described in the prenup. Here he is, veteran actor, anchorman of over 70 television programs and movies. It is Daniel J. Giebert, Duran III.
All eyes were on New Mexico this past Wednesday as a unique weather event swept through the region, enveloping many cities across the state in a thick brown haze for a short period of time. Now, in my weather background, I had not actually heard this term before. It's called and I'll spell it here, HABOOB. So I had to go to the internet to find out exactly how to pronounce it. And, of course, the internet is quite helpful.
SpeechModification.com presents how to pronounce haboob and what it means. A haboob is an intense dust storm. The stress in the word haboob falls on the second syllable, boob. Haboob.
Haboob.
Letter A is unstressed and sounds like haboob.
There you go. So you've been educated, and now that you know what a haboob is, you can watch for it.
Oh, you can use that in many situations. Like, what's that just flopped out of your dress? Haboob.
Yeah, you could. You could say all the things that you could use boob for, you could use haboob for. It's almost, you know what? In the old format, this would be a fun bit. We could just say boob over and over again.
Haboob.
But, you know, but when you can say what we can say, it almost seems like not as delightful.
Okay.
So where was this? What is this?
Oh, it was in New Mexico.
Oh, okay.
Haboobs.
It was haboob. It's, you know, it's a big, basically it's a big sandstorm.
So is there anyone who reported on this, who read about it, who was an anchor on camera or radio, who said haboob without thinking, boob, you said boob?
They were surprised about the haboob size, by the way. Scientists were.
Wait till they see.
Wait till they see little haboobs, and you get big haboobs.
Yeah. Wait till they
you
see.
You get firm haboobs. You get floppy haboobs.
Wait till you see. Wait till they see your hacock. A boner. Yeah. Sometimes when you see a haboob, when you see haboob, you get a boner.
It was the largest dust storm they'd ever witnessed, or the largest haboob they'd ever seen.
Haboob,
they said. Yeah.
Hey, guys, not to bring you down.
Oh, which is great. While we're having a nice haboob bit, what now?
This series on CNN, you know, the violent earth. Or,
oh, here we go.
last night I watched the volcano one. It's just crazy.
Yeah.
And, you know, Mount St. Helens, at the time, I didn't realize the devastation it caused, the death it caused, and that other volcanoes around the world, and they're keeping their eye on Mount Rainier in Washington State. They're afraid of what it can do. Anyway, next week is hurricanes.
Oh.
And, wow. No, it's great. It really is. Just a warning to us all. And then reading another article on the weekend that Ontario is now become the tornado capital of Canada, surpassing Saskatchewan and the Great Lakes and the havoc that they will create during climate change because of the water and the climate and the humidity and how our weather is going to be unsettled indefinitely.
Well, I'm sure
not just for the next couple of years, indefinitely.
I'm sure glad you didn't want to bring us down.
Yeah.
You know what you are? You're a habummer.
Things to think about.
A bummer, man. I moved to Vancouver in 1980, May of that year, just days after eruption of Mount St. Helens, and it was all... So it's not very far from Vancouver, so it was a huge, huge story. I'm like some bumpkin off the prairies, and I didn't even... Mountains, I didn't even know they erupted. Yeah, it was a big deal.
So... When you were in Vancouver, could you see it? I know westerly winds, it wouldn't have brought it to Vancouver, but...
You know what? No. But yeah, I mean, it was definitely a part of the conversation that, you know, I sort of landed and that's all anyone was talking about.
You know, they describe that. The pressure that built up, it literally blew out the side of that mountain.
Yeah.
And then there was a couple of people there, photographers and everything, and just couldn't escape in time and... You know, this woman talked about her husband who got caught in it, and, you know, his death report said skelified or something, the term that they found him in his car, just a skeleton.
Because he was enveloped by molten lava?
Yeah, and the heat, and it's just something else. And it's not even the lava. It's these other plumes that are even more deadly than the lava.
And because it's the temperatures are like 12 or 1300 Celsius or something.
Yeah, and it's little rock particles that you ingest. It's just horrible. It's hell on earth.
If you were to go...
Watch this.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like a bummer at all. If you were to get... if you were to die somehow... I would think just being enveloped by 1,000-plus degree heat, it would happen so fast, it would never even register. You'd never register for a nanosecond what has happened to you before it was just over. It'd be done.
You know, these volcanoes, a split second, so, you know, the lava or whatever, it comes down a mountainside, and then it literally burns trees to a crisp in seconds, knocks them over, and then they find their way into rivers and streams. And, like, within half an hour of Mount St. Helens, like, all the rivers coming off the thing were nothing but full of logs, right? Like, just crashing down the rivers and smashing into things, and it's just... You know, Mother Nature.
Yeah. Well, the thing with Mount...
So powerful.
What they're worried about with Mount Rainier is not so much the lava and that part of it, is that it's so high, there's so much snowpack up there. Mm-hmm. It will melt immediately.
Instantly.
And it will come into... there'll be this slurry of, you know, everything that's up there and volcanic ash coming down and enveloping whatever's in that path. Not the lava path, but the water path that goes into... Or that slurry that goes into the towns and that are around Mount Rainier. Could be a big, huge death.
Do you remember, Dan? Do you remember, like, I'm not sure if it was called Mount Rainier, but Rainier Beer? Did you ever come and visit me in Vancouver? It was like a big West Coast beer. It was like one of those things where it's like a lot of like regional. It was like one of those. Like there was another one out there, Kokanee, I think, or Coop.
That came to Ontario.
Yeah,
eventually.
But Kokanee was like a sort of a very local Western Canada, British Columbia beer for a while.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but I do remember Rainier. Because from Vancouver to the Washington State border is about 45 minutes. There's a suburb of Vancouver, maybe an hour or more. I can't remember, but it was called Tawasin, and it's right. So and then you go across a place called Port Roberts, I think. And so the border is very close. So it's not very far to get to Mount St. Helens, which I believe is in. Was it in Oregon or was it in Washington? Oh, I guess it was Washington. Yeah.
Well, like. Mount St. Helens or Mount Rainier, I think, is only like 80 miles from Seattle.
Yeah.
And what's the other main city there that they're very concerned about?
Tacoma.
Tacoma. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, there you go. So let's end the show on that note.
Bring you down, fellas.
Oh, no, no. No, that wasn't a bummer at all. Let's tomorrow on the program. Again, two more sleeps until the big reveal. Tomorrow on the program. Always a pleasure to welcome back Nick Ines from with the Condo Report. And before that, Larry Fedoric, award-winning podcaster, broadcaster, and all-around friend of the program. Tomorrow we should probably also take a little time and talk about these stories we missed today. The death of Donald Sutherland. A couple of big stories in entertainment. Also, I don't know if you guys saw, but Queen has sold their catalog for a record amount of money. We can talk about that. And just wanted to point out, if you go to our Facebook page, a guy I work with who's a very accomplished writer wrote an article about me. Did you ever read that, Dan? Did that delight you at all or no? Did you read it ever?
I didn't read it yet. That's on my project
list
today.
Dan, it's like a 3-minute read.
Is that all it is?
The other day I talked to you.
Seems like a lot of words.
No. Yeah. The other day I talked to you, said, I started it, but then I got distracted. So, anyway,
there's all kinds of things that distract me, and I apologize for not, but it did look like a lot of words, and I'd have to, you know, get some, you know, like coffee or something and sit down in a place that's, you know, calming.
Fred, your comment on the article is it seemed too long for you to read, but Fred, who apparently is a better friend of mine, he read the whole article. Did it seem like a lot of words, or did you get through it rather quickly?
No. I mean, no. I got through it quickly.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, I read it and something else during one of my sit-down sessions.
See, there you go. It's literally 3/4 of a dump long, Dan.
This is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
It's 70. Yeah, it's toilet ready.
It's totally toilet reading. You could have it done by now. Anyway.
All right. Okay. I'll make sure.
I've had
a lot of
great feedback. Yeah. Everyone else I sent it to read it. And if you want to read it too, it's on our Facebook page or my Facebook page, and we can talk a little bit about it tomorrow. Maybe because Fred was one of the people that was contacted for some background on the article.
I was quoted in it, so yes, you a were. Bit of self-interest, but absolutely. I'm not afraid to say that.
So maybe that was Dan wasn't they didn't talk to Dan for background, so he's like, hey, fuck it, I'm not in it, I'm not reading it.
This episode of Humble and Fred was brought to you by the Retirement Sherpa, the Chambers Plan, Boron One, Bodog, and Lender's Choice Mortgages. For contests and comments, we read all of our emails, humbleandfred@humbleandfredradio.com. So tell us what you think, humbleandfred@humbleandfredradio.com. Helping us out would be subscribing, maybe sharing an episode, rate the podcast would also be appreciated. For Humble and Fred, from the Andrew Moore Zoom Theater, I'm Dan Duran. And remember, we're all about not bringing you down just so you can enjoy every goddamn day.
A place we saw the lights turn low, the jigsaw jazz in the get fresh flow, pulling out jobs and jamboree handouts, 2 turntables and a microphone, bottles and cans, or just clap your hands.